It's around that same time again. Not quite 8-ish, but close enough. I'm Kenneth Berry. We have Pete Camarillo here. And this is another episode of Touchdowns and Tangents, where we give you nothing but topical tangents for the culture. And sometimes, you know, we actually say something that's really dope and predict the future.
And a lot of times we just go back and forth with smack talking and wit and rambling.
And a lot of inside jokes that are just downright just foul. That, like, anybody who wasn't friends, like, they'd fight immediately if you said those jokes.
So, Candy, where can they find us?
They can find us on our archived Facebook page, as well as Instagram, TDs_tangents, as well as Twitter, TDs_tangents. Apple Music? Not Apple Music.
Apple Podcast Store, Google Play, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker,
SpreaKer.
And wherever else random good internet content lives.
Yeah, because we've been doing this for a while now, and it's pretty good. It's not even humble brag. Like, it's just honestly good content.
We're about, 35 episodes deep these days, and a bunch of other podcasts in our back. So hopefully you'll subscribe, like, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your aunt, tell your homie who always goes to the store in his slippers, and maybe that girl who continues to curve you and pretend like she still likes you.
Or if you're like, you'd rather, you're like, oh, I'm gonna go listen to some professional podcasts at a place I hope I get a job at, just cut your losses and actually listen to us, because, you know, we actually spit that real. And, you know, we're everyday people out here. Like, you actually could run into us.
So, without selling the podcast anymore, let's jump right into it. Kenny, I know you want to talk about the Dallas situation, so go ahead, intro it.
Alright, so the Cowboys prove yet again that everything is bigger in Texas, especially hypocrisy. So, Lucky Whitehead. Easy with the Cowboys have enough problems with gun issues, alright? So, Lucky Whitehead, a receiver who probably wasn't going to make the team anyway because they drafted Ryan Switzer to be a punt returner. And Ryan Switzer, and I'm going to say this, for a white dude who ain't that fast, he is a damn excellent punt returner. He had about 7 punt returns in college, broke the North Carolina school record, which isn't really saying much because North Carolina was a spread offense, and I mean, nah, that's foul. He's actually really good. And he's a better version of Cole Beasley, essentially. So, Lucky Whitehead, who kind of reminds me of, I think it was Dwayne Harris, the guy out of Eastern Carolina, who played for Dallas and then went to the New York Giants. He was accused of stealing some donuts, and the cops came out and realized after the fact, oh, we got the wrong guy. Total, we profiled you. We're sorry. We apologize. The Cowboys, with no real investigation per se that we could see, just straight up cut dude. They released him and treated him like he was a common criminal, even though there's about, 7 guys who were going to be suspended for most of the season based off drugs. Ezekiel Elliott's under investigation for beating a woman, all types of stuff. Well, knocking out a dude in a club, allegedly. Like, well, one of their backup linebackers just got busted and is going to miss pretty much almost the whole season for hitting a woman with his car, allegedly, and pulling a gun out on a dude. But this guy, who didn't do anything, wasn't even given the benefit of the doubt, was cut, but luckily he got picked up on waivers by the Jets, because they need receivers.
Well, I think it's interesting only because, on one hand, if it were a regular job, this is probably something that you might see happen, even if, you know, there was no investigation or charges. But on the other hand, it's like you said, Cowboys have that de facto culture of boys will be boys, and we kind of work through it. But they kind of just threw him over into the ocean. You know, my boy Jim Rome actually had a pretty good take on this in that he said, Lucky's actually a pretty ironic name considering this isn't a lucky situation at all.
We and, want your takes, Pete, not Jim Rome's takes.
Yeah, man. Well, sometimes you gotta quote the legends and actually give them credit for the good things that they say. Which, in fact, is actually inspired the name of this podcast, Smack Off 2017, tomorrow. Shout out to the clones.
Wow, I would do that, but I have work in the morning. One of us has to do it. Anyway, so, yeah, it's just amazing the like, all the horrible things that Cowboys players have done over the years and in the past, and you cut a guy, even though it was proven that he didn't do anything. Now, yeah, he had issues in the past. Well, then this kind of... And there's going to be people who are bringing up the issue. Well, what if he was a white receiver? He probably wouldn't have got cut. But then you'd have to look at situations like Colt Lyra. I can't say his last name. He used to play for Oregon. Actually was a really great athlete. Was a better version of than Aaron Hernandez. But he was doing cocaine and pretty much got kicked out of school. And the Packers signed him, and for whatever reason didn't work out, and then he got busted for drugs. And he's never been heard from since. In Lucky's case, doesn't seem like he's going to be a repeat offender. Because, I mean, a couple weeks ago, some no-name rapper out of Houston, or wherever, threatened him, said, "We stole your dog, and we want $20,000, or you'll never see him again." And I guess they were trying to get him, the police were trying to arrest him for filing a false police report, because he ended up getting the dog back. So, I think they just wanted to be rid of him. How they did it was wrong. But it all, and Jason Garrett is pretty much a huge puppet, because he's like, "I don't know if I can talk about player issues." Well, you're the head coach. What can you talk about? It's just kind of gross. But, you know, it is what it is. And it starts to, I'm just saying, maybe some of the things T.O. said about the Cowboys wasn't wrong. I'll just leave it there.
So let's move on. There's been a little bit of roster movement. You know, we saw Cardell Jones get traded. We saw Tywan Jones get cut.
The day after his birthday.
Shout out to the Not For Long NFL.
Shout out to Cardell Jones actually getting out of a really bad situation in Buffalo and going to the Chargers.
What are some other moves you foresee coming?
Well, there was a... this is no surprise. The Eagles cut their former first-round pick, 26th overall pick, from a couple years ago, Marcus Smith, who was a huge bust out of Louisville. Chip Kelly, I don't know why the hell he even drafted him that high. He was considered like a third-round pick, and he drafted him in the first round, and he pretty much did nothing for the Eagles. And
like most of Chip Kelly's picks. Shout out to Huff. Shout out to Jaden Watkins. Who else?
Corey Hart. Michael James. No, I'm kidding. That wasn't his pick. But a lot of people. Jeff Mile, male, whatever.
What's some other moves?
Yeah, so Alan Barbary, he got traded to the Broncos from the Eagles. And the Broncos clearly need help at guard and somebody athletic enough to actually be effective in their zone scheme, because...
Give me one surprise cut that you see could happen.
Tamba Holly. He went on a huge rant about he was just disgruntled, like they really have taken away all his playing time. And he could still play. He could be a great D-tackle or a great D-end because he's that strong and athletic.
Well, that's fine, but D-Ford actually had 10 sacks last year, so they phased him out. You can't really keep him out of the lineup either.
Yeah.
And D-Ford's been patient, waiting for his time, and his time's here. So what can you do as far as that? Now, if Tamba Ali wants to play, didn't he just re-sign? They cut him and then re-signed him?
No, that was a couple years ago. The restructure's deal, but in his case, he only played 7 snaps in that playoff game. It's Steelers. 7 snaps for a guy who was actually holding it down for you as a pass rusher for years before you got Justin Houston.
But he's 33 and he only had 4 sacks last year, so the proof's in the pudding.
He played like...
Shout out to DeMarcus Ware. Because those are DeMarcus Ware numbers. And you know where DeMarcus Ware is at? Retired.
But he came back and had a great season. But that's the thing. He's in the 3-4 and they don't... He's not on the field as much. He only played like 30% of the snaps. So he's not... He's literally getting like reserve time. He's not a starter anymore. That's what
I'm going to give you one. Navarro Bowman.
Just watched the highlights of him versus USC in the Rose Bowl a couple days ago.
And I think, number one, he's 29 years old. Number two, he's coming off an Achilles injury. Number three, it's a whole new regime over there in San Francisco. New coach, new general manager, new scheme. And guess what? They have Reuben Foster on the roster and Malcolm Smith, who will probably end up being the Mike and the Will. I don't know which one will play where, but those two are pretty much locked.
He's going to play Will.
Then you factor in, like, how deep their defensive line is, which, if everything pans out, they could have the best defensive line in the NFL.
I'd say the Vikings.
They're about 2 deep at each position.
The Vikings. Yeah, but are they going to run a 3-4 or a 4-3?
They're running a 4-3.
So you have Eli Harrell.
You're going to have Amon Brooks, who should have been playing defensive end his whole career, finally playing defensive end. So,
yeah, but still, I mean, I'd take the Vikings defensive line over that because
because the three key guys are really young. But if those three guys live up to the potential.
I got 4 guys.
I'm talking about Thomas, Armstead, and Buckner, if they perform. But then you look at the reserves behind them.
Eli Harrell.
What's his face?
Can't name anybody else after that.
Tank Kerenker?
Tank Carradine.
Carradine, yeah.
They might get rid of him. They're thinking about getting rid of Aaron Lynch.
And Aaron Lynch, yes.
He's overweight, though. They might actually cut him.
So
another Notre Dame washout.
You mean USF?
No, he transferred from Notre Dame to USF.
Yeah.
Don't forget
that.
You
thought I didn't know, huh?
Don't forget that.
You thought you were going to stump me.
Nah, I just want to point out that Notre Dame players flop as of late. Ever since that national title game, man.
Lastly, holdouts. Le'Veon Bell is holding out.
He should.
Aaron Donald may hold out.
He should just hold out just to not have to watch that anemic offense. Like, why waste practice reps? Why waste practice reps? Bro, you know you can come in and play and get 10 sacks. Like, I feel like if Aaron Donald wants to
end the team... Yeah, but it's a brand new scheme. He's got to learn to play 5 technique and 4 technique.
Bro, he played defensive end in college.
He did.
He played every position on the D-line. He even played nose tackle. He is not the problem. You know what the problem is? Robert Quinn. They got to make sure he's healthy. They got to make sure Alex Ogletree fits into the defense nicely.
Well, here's the messed
up thing. They got to make sure their corners are actually going to stick around.
Here's the messed up thing about Aaron Donald is he's under contract
at least 2 years,
and then they can franchise tag him another 2 years after that. So really, at the minimum, they don't even have to sign him for another 2 years. And people are already talking about him holding out.
Yeah. Rookie deal screwed everybody with that extra year
option
for first round
picks.
They are screwing
people out of millions. And the messed up part is...
The veterans voted for it. And they're not even getting that money.
Not just that.
Idiots.
Not just that, but like... They did it because Sam Bradford and the Jamarcus Russells and those guys who came in, drafted, and were the highest paid player just being drafted. And they were like, yo... Why is this rookie who's never playing a down eating off of me and then flopping out the league in 2 years? And
Troy Williamson?
The owners were like, yeah, you're right, because then we still have to pay these dudes when we'd rather be playing the veterans. And that's kind of how they sold it. But like you said, the veterans aren't getting that bread either because, guess what, NFL contracts aren't guaranteed.
Bait and switch, and that's just, like, if you could help the owners keep money in their pockets, why would they give it to you? Duh, they'll just draft somebody younger. You're stupid.
That's what happens when you have a weak players union and you have too many faceless players and not enough people willing to stand up and take a stance.
But here's the problem.
Take a stance, don't suck. Selfless plug on the podcast. TDs and tangents.
Yeah. Here's the problem with that. You have a situation where, like, where Richard Sherman's talking to Josina Anderson, and he said, straight up, the media, you guys go easy on owners. You let them have anonymous sources like cowards, but you blast us all day long. But you don't hold the owners accountable because you're afraid to lose your livelihood because they can make moves that'll have you lose your job. That was the realest thing he said, and they glossed over it in the interview. But I was like, that guy, like Kevin Mawai, like plenty of players before him, when they were president of the players union, they get blackballed. Well, players like that.
I think the rub is simply this.
So if you have a guy like Richard Sherman or Dominique Foxworth or anybody else who can still play, but they're...
But that's not just a players thing. Union, that's not even just an issue. That's not even just an issue in the NFL. You're talking about an issue that's in the entire professional sports
culture. The NBA isn't that bad. Chris Paul's the president of the Players Association. You think Adam Silver's going to try to pull a coup on him? That'd be pretty stupid.
But here's the difference between... The NBA, and we've already talked about this, but besides the Osborne stuff, the roster size, the players union, besides all that,
money, guaranteed money.
Besides all that, there's a black owner in the NBA, and even though it's still disproportional, the fact is there's still one, and that's more than any other professional sports league.
The greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan.
Number two, this is really just a problem for society at large. But there's no good journalists. And it pains me to say that, but it is what it is. Journalism is dying, and I knew that coming into it. And so here I sit in my room doing a podcast for free. But I'm not bitter. The point is, you're going to keep getting these anonymous sources because guess what? Can you give me a player who's turned into a journalist and not a color commentary guy?
Well, that's the thing. You would have to be a front office guy.
That's what I'm saying.
You would have to flip someone that high up, and the owners aren't doing that.
Because why? Because they keep bread in their pockets so that they don't need to flip over and go to the other side and go rogue.
Yeah. And it's really sad.
But... And that's really the society at whole. Because... You can't be a man of the people when you've already been a man of the man.
As Charlemagne the God once said, you're either of the people or of the industry. You can't pick. You can have it both ways.
So, one last point. You mentioned Richard Sherman. I just want to talk about this real quick. So, does the fact that Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson... not love each other, is that a big deal or not? Because he basically described their relationship as professional. Do you think that's a big deal or not? Because we've certainly been talking about Richard Sherman and the Seahawks and that whole organization way too much over the past calendar year.
Not really. I think it should be pointed out that Russell Wilson's a company man. He isn't really all that great. He's not an elite quarterback.
But that's not even... He was coddled. That's not even Sherman's biggest qualm anymore. Because he's even said Wilson got better and got a lot more respect because he played through a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah.
And this horrible offensive line. Which, by the way, who's scouting offensive linemen in the NFC West? Like...
DJ Humphries.
Like, can y'all get... a decent offensive lineman in there? Hire me, not named Joe Staley?
Hire me, bro. That was years ago.
You're going to say Joe Staley's trash?
He's not, but I'm saying that was one that
they hit on. Even you're not going to
tell that. That's one they hit on years ago. Like, name the last great offensive lineman, like, solid pick in the NFC West. Any team. An offensive lineman that actually has worked. Justin Britt, Ethan, the dude at LSU, looks like a pretty nice pick for the Seahawks. Like, they finally upgraded the offensive line. Because German Efeedy was terrible.
Alright, so back to my point. Does it matter if the quarterback and corner get along?
It doesn't. Like, as long as he does his job, it's all good. But Richard Sherman and that defense have every right to hold the offense accountable, because they're the ones who are wasting away the primes of their careers. They should have had at least 3 Super Bowls by now, to be perfectly honest with you. But the level they played. And you can blame it on the offense and Pete Carroll's ineptitude and refusal to hold his offense accountable. Because he didn't do it at USC.
And here's where I'm at. And he's actually a defensive coordinator, a defensive coach. So,
but
ironic.
They swapped out how many defensive coordinators, and those players still maintain a certain level.
No, but so here's where I come in at it. Like, on one hand, it's not a big deal, because even Richard Sherman pointed out, you don't have anyone saying, oh, Malcolm Butler and Tom Brady don't go out together. They don't break bread together every day. They're not seen together. Like, it's not a big deal that way. So why is it a big deal that me and Wilson aren't close? I see that angle. But at the same time, what made the Seahawks so great when they were at the great, at their greatest, is that they were better than the sum of their parts. They had that synergy from the fans, from Pete Carroll with the chip on his shoulder, every player on that team having a chip on their shoulder, and they all collectively played better than they were.
And
now you're seeing the egos kind of separated, and it's not as good as it was. And I think that's a large reason why, is because they're not the same collective unit that they were. You know, they've lost the Bruce Irvins, and Earl Thomas was injured last year, and the defensive line has gone through a bunch of changes over the past few years. So it's just different.
On top of that, you got to look at the fact that Carroll not giving Marshawn Lynch the ball killed all trust in that organization for the defense. The fact that you chose to be political and not give that man the ball for selfish, spiteful reasons, that's the reason why. You can't justify it. You can justify giving Lindell White the ball against Texas, but left tackle Winston Justice whiffed on his block. So, there. And you could have put Reggie Bush on the field. You probably should have called a different play. But, you know, USC didn't run screen passes like that back then. So, whatever. But in that case,
shout out to the West Coast offense.
Yeah. Shout out to Cal in 03 and 04 when Aaron Rodgers was there. People don't realize he had no receivers. I saw the Cal-USC game from, like, years ago. And it was disgusting. Anyway.
Look.
The bottom line is, it's the same thing with the Bears. Dan Hampton came out and said, we'd have won three or four Super Bowls if Jay Cutler was our quarterback. They still hate Jim McMahon for taking unnecessary hits and doing things that he didn't have to do. People are still pissed. Like, how do you not give Walter Payton the ball in the Super Bowl? Like, come on. Let's not act like teams and organizations don't have problems. Bill Callahan ruined the Raiders by changing their game plan 2 days before the Super Bowl. There needs to be a 30 for 30 on that.
There will be. Of course. There has to be one on that team. Of
Baron Robbins.
You're talking about one of the biggest Super Bowl collapses ever.
Ever. And it's like, There's
you can look at the Baron Robbins. There's the defensive tackle. There's the 2 Hall of Fame aging receivers. There's the quarterback that came out of nowhere.
Charlie Garner.
Offensive coordinator. There's Charlie Garner. There's all types of storylines in there.
There's the fact that all those defensive players on that Buccaneers defense got fat contracts because of that Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. They all got fat deals, even the backups on that team. But it's you look at the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, Simeon and Rondé need to go in. John Lynch, probably not.
John Lynch, I don't think, is a Hall of Famer. Nor was he ever. He was just a strong
team. Sapp's in. Derek Brooks is in. They deserve to be.
Simeon's not going to get in for a while.
He'll probably be like 20 years.
Another, yeah, 10, 20 years.
All right. Let's move on. Last segment. I'm going to give you a team. You give me the 4 players on their Mount Rushmore. You ready?
Cool. Let one of them be the Vikings.
Okay. That was random.
By the way, Danielle Hunter, you know, Byron Robinson, who was the starter for a long time, and the one dude from that Texas National Championship team is still in the league, I actually respect him. He's actually willing, he's trying to be a backup, because Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin are probably the two most freakishly athletic defensive ends in the league. Like, it's insane. They both run sub 4.5s. And Griffin just got a 4-year, $58 million deal, $34 million guaranteed money. And Danielle Hunter was so raw coming out of LSU that they still managed to mold him. The Vikings low-key have one of the better defenses in the NFL.
And that was Barry's topical tangent of the day.
I just get mad when I see him, like, that's a Super Bowl defense. And
even offense, though they have white safety?
Harrison Smith is the truth. Don't hate.
All right, you ready? Jason Smith. Ready to play the damn game?
Go for it. You played and won the game, right?
The Rams.
Okay, we're talking about LA Rams or St. Louis?
Both.
Okay. I want to say Jack Youngblood. I could say Jackie Slater. I'll throw out Jackie Slater. Then you're going to have Marshall Faulk. You're going to have Torrey Holt. You're going to have Isaac Bruce. Got to have Kurt Warner.
That's already four. That's already five.
Yeah, the greatest show on turf. Because I put Orlando Pace up there, but it's like, nah, you got to go with the four guys.
So you're going to put...
I put
Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce over the Hall of Famer Orlando Pace, who literally made all three of those guys' careers that you just named right now.
Well, I had Jackie Slater too, and I didn't even get to Aeneas Williams yet. He wasn't a full time Ram, but realistically,
I'm going.
You're gonna have the greatest show on turf.
I'm going Youngblood, Slater, Faulk, Pace. That's my four.
Bruce was amazing, though.
Not this argument again.
Bro, he has better stats.
All right, give me a team.
Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
It's pretty easy if you think about it.
Larry Fitz.
So wait, so we only going four?
It's a Mount Rushmore.
So only four.
Yes. Larry Fitzgerald, Aeneas Williams. Those are the two locks, for sure.
I'm glad you know he spent most of his time as a Cardinal. Good for you.
After that, I mean, what? It's kind of a mess.
Nah, it's really not.
All right, fill it out then.
First off, Adrian Wilson. You could have said Anquan Boldin. You could have said Anquan Boldin. You could have said, was it? No, Dick LeBeau didn't play for them. Hell.
And are you including the St. Louis Cardinals in this?
That's what I said. I was looking up old St. Louis Cardinals. No, we're just gonna go Arizona. So if you're going Arizona Cardinals,
Jake Plummer,
I will kill you right now. First off, you're gonna throw in Pat Tillman?
No, hell no.
Okay, good.
Peterson?
Yeah, pretty much. I go Aeneas Williams, Fitzgerald, Boldin, Peterson.
That's solid. They've never had a great running back?
Yeah, but you don't know his name.
Really, though.
You could die before your parents are born.
Alright, let's make it a little bit more difficult. Let's go the Baltimore Ravens. We're not including the...
Bro, that's easy as hell.
Yeah.
You know how easy that is?
Go for it.
Ray Lewis.
Okay.
Jamal Lewis. Really? 2,000 yards rushing? Really? 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 Shut the hell up. Ed Reed. Jonathan Ogden.
Peter Bowler?
No, because then you have to put in Terrell Suggs.
Jerry Sharper?
Nope. Sorry. You got to put a running back there.
How about Chris McAllister?
Nope, because no. He wasn't a Hall of Fame player. Deion Sanders was pretty good when he went to the Ravens, but I'm not going to put him there. I'm not going to put Smart Roll. I'm not going to pick...
So you said Avery, Ray Lewis...
Jonathan Ogden,
and Jamal.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you can't put all defensive players up there. That's not fair. And I'm damn sure not putting a quarterback.
Kansas City.
Wait, didn't I just go? No, I do it. All right, fine. Smartass. Len Dawson. Then, Priest Holmes. You gotta go Priest Holmes. Then, Tony Gonzalez. I got one more. Damn. Can I just do a combo of Will Shields and Riley Rowe?
I was gonna say, if you don't put one of those offensive linemen on there,
can I just get a package deal with those two?
But what about the coach?
What about him?
What's his name?
I can't. Dick Vermeil?
No. Super Bowl
money? Not Len Dawson, but I know what you're talking about.
Hank Stram? Is that his name?
Might have been. But I'm like, that was a long time ago.
So we're sticking in the modern era? 90s and up?
Well, okay. You can't refute against Tony Gonzalez, and you can't refute against Willie Rolfe, and, who's the other guy?
Shields?
Will Shields. And you had Brian Waters, who was good for a while. So, I mean, I'm not even using him. I'm just using those two guys. And then Priest Holmes.
So, the Raiders basically have the Chiefs O-line of the 2000s?
Shut up.
That was too real for you?
Gabe Jackson's better than Brian Waters. We don't have... We kind of have... Right. We have a Hudson. So, yeah. We just need a right tackle.
All right. Go ahead. Your turn. I'll try to actually complete this one.
I feel like I should be a jerk and just give you, like, a really hard one.
Go for it.
I'm deciding between the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars. Okay.
Houston Texans.
We're going Fred Taylor. I'll do them both.
Fine. Because I was like, I just said one, and you're like, no, I'm going to do the Jaguars.
Well, actually...
Fred Taylor.
Yeah, over MJD. Even though MJD was, like, the only reason they were relevant for, like, a cool 8 years.
Not for, like, 5 or 6.
So you got to go him.
Taylor was a better running back, though.
Donovan Darius?
Really?
I mean, who else?
Really?
Mathis?
Hella picks. Go look up his stats. Hella interceptions.
Jimmy Smith's definitely on there.
Now, you're not going to put in Mark Brunell or Keenan McCardell? Wow. Tom Coughlin? Disrespectful.
So, my for sures are Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor. For sure. Those two are on there.
Okay.
After that...
You don't want to put Keenan McCardell on?
I'll put Brunell and Keenan McCardell, but I don't feel good about it, considering I was pretty much a defensive franchise, so...
But how much was Darius?
And what about Daryl Smith?
Okay.
And what about...
Later round pick.
Yeah, Mike but Peterson? he was a good linebacker for Jacksonville for a long time.
Name me their best defensive end, because I know you can't. Because they had a really great defensive end.
Marcellus Wiley?
I will stab
you. Who?
I forgot his name. That's how good he was.
He played with Stroud and Henderson, though, right?
Yeah. That's it. You could even put those guys up there.
Nah, but for sure, Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor are on there. For sure.
I feel like you just
have Brunell to put that, is probably the third.
You have to put that whole offense up there.
I guess because they've never had offense.
Those are the best dudes.
The Texans is going to be, obviously...
I'm going to say Matt Schaub, but I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
Andre Johnson, obviously.
Obviously.
Arian Foster?
Obviously. Who's before Arian Foster?
Who?
Steve Slayton, bro.
Steve Slayton played for, like... half a season.
4 years. But yeah, it's Arian Foster. So Arian Foster, Andre Johnson.
Matt Schaub did take them to the playoffs, though.
It's too early to put J.J. Watt on.
You might have to just put J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins on there and just call it a day.
Because otherwise, you're going to put Matt Schaub.
You're not going to put Dwayne Brown on there, their best left tackle ever? Damn, disrespectful.
All right. Let me give you one more. We'll close it out.
Don't be a legacy one either. Make it an actual difficult one.
Let's go. I've already been saying teams in the West. Let's go. The New York.
Either way.
Just do them both then, Mr. Hot Take.
Well, the Giants is easy. Eli. LT. Tiki Barber. Bro, look at his stats. And
you're putting Eli over Phil Sims?
Yeah. Phil Sims didn't beat Tom Brady in 2 Super Bowls, did he?
Good point. Point taken.
And,
On trail roll.
I'll slap you. I want to put Odell Beckham Jr. up there. But, Tiki, LT... I go with Harry Carson. I go Mark Bavaro. Or I could just say Bill Parcells.
Kerry Collins?
Wow. Leave. Just leave. No, I'm going to go...
Plaxico?
That's a shot in the dark.
David Tyree?
Nah, I'm going to go...
Jeremy Shockey?
I'd have to go Bavaro over Shockey. So I'm just going to be fair and go Parcells, LT... Tiki Barber, and Eli Manning.
And the Jets?
Obviously, you gotta go Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe?
Then you gotta go...
Charlie Gardner?
Curtis Martin. Shut the hell up. That's dumb. Just dumb.
Wayne Corbett?
No.
Santana Moss?
No. Not Laverne's Coles, either.
I can't just shout out slow receivers from the 90s who had good
first
hands
off, they're all fast. Devers Coles and...
Keyshawn was faster than both of them.
No, Santana Moss, Santana Moss ran a 4.240. He ran track and walked on at Miami. Shows him what you know. Keyshawn Johnson ran like a 4.49.
He didn't even run at the combine.
Exactly. It was his pro day. But anyway, so I said...
Wow. I feel like Keyshawn Johnson is like the only USC player in history that you slander.
Because he could have had a better career.
And George Farmer.
Farmer? You yeah. can't even say his name right.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Farmer.
And Jordan Campbell.
You slander Jordan Campbell.
Yeah, I do.
I slander Lamar Dawson because he should have never got 55 in the first place. And not... John David Booty, but definitely Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
So I had Thomas Jones. No, not Thomas Jones.
I had Curtis Martin.
Dude. No, it's not. Curtis Martin. Disrespectful. Again. Curtis Martin. Broadway Joe. Nick Mangold. Nick Mangold.
Kevin Millay. Damian Woody.
Give me a second. I'm thinking. Because one of those guys can play guard. But nah, I feel like I gotta go outside the box. Darrell Revis, Nick Mangold, Curtis Martin, and Joe Namath. Boom.
I'm going my way over Mangold.
That's fair.
And I'll probably keep Revis there.
You have to.
Just because he kind of transcended this era for corners. Well, let's close it out. You know the deal. We don't have a lot of time, so how about let's actually keep this at a minute. You want me to start? You want to start?
You go.
Okay, this is the Touchdowns and Tangents show. This is my unnecessarily tough rant to close out the show. I want to start off by talking about some unnecessary toughness going on Saturday between John Jones and Daniel Cormier. The fight we've been waiting for 2 years. I'm actually pretty close to this fight, considering my ad agency is doing the TV commercials, so I've really been following it. Jim Rohn's been following it a lot, so I've been getting it a lot there. It's just been all around me. And it's funny because this fight's actually kind of getting cannibalized by the McGregor-Mayweather fight, when this is actually probably going to be a better fight. And Cormier has just been slandering John Jones about using Viagra and Coke to really cover up his steroid use, and saying that he really was never that good to begin with. He was just doped up. And John Jones is saying, well, yeah, you failed your last weigh-in, so you're actually the 206 champion, and I whooped your ass after a bender. So, what are you going to do? We don't know what John Jones we're going to get, but hopefully he can redeem himself, especially as we've talked about before, after losing his mom and his whole story. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Kind of stole my take, but yeah, part of me kind of hope he kills Cormier in the ring, just so he can stop talking. Like, honestly, Cormier is one of those fake industry dudes who was handed a belt and didn't really earn it, because John Jones never lost his title. Like, that's my biggest thing. Dude never lost. He got busted for coke, but guess what? If you watch the fight, he clearly outclassed Cormier. And Cormier got lucky because Anthony Rumble Johnson got knocked out against somebody else, and they never fought. But they eventually fought down the line. Bottom line is, you're right, this is actually the much bigger fight. And once he beats Cormier, Cormier pretty much has to retire, because it's over for him after that. And Jones can be like, I'm the greatest of all time in UFC.
Well, like Cormier was saying, John Jones needs this fight more than him, because if he doesn't win, that's it for Jones.
Yeah, but the thing for Jones is,
Cormier is still champion, and no one could take that away. Regardless of if he was given it. But, sorry, I hijacked your take.
Yeah. Bottom line is, he's the 206-pound champion, not 205-pound champion. And also, Jones said, well, I've been clean, and once I started powerlifting, I was deadlifting like 700 pounds and squatting like 600 pounds. So, that dude's chiseled, man. And he said Cormier looked like a crackhead in a suit. Cormier really is like this dude who just, he's a prop. And I feel like Jones is going to expose him yet again. I just hope he doesn't test positive for new drugs. Even if he never fights again, I just hope he beats Cormier. And also, started writing again. I got stuff on Medium.com. So yeah, check it out. Kenneth Berry.
You can find this podcast on Left Coast Sports, Speaker, iTunes, SoundCloud,
Google Play,
Instagram, and iHeartRadio app. Oh, and by the way, I got a bunch of roundtables coming up this week. Bunch of different bloggers from around the internet on Left Coast Sports. You're definitely going to want to check that out. I got people from SB Nation, Independent Blogs, Fansided, the whole internet's representing. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. Left Coast Sports, you can find the podcast there as well. Other than that, have a good week. And don't suck. Peace.